Well, hey guys, welcome to my weekly Q&A session. In a moment, I'm going to jump into five questions all about spiritual authority. I've been teaching on the subject of spiritual authority all week, and I encourage you to go back and check out some of those four videos. And I've got some great questions here today. Let's jump into those in a moment. Before we do that, as usual, if you're new to my ministry, my name's Graham. I'm a British American. I live in Massachusetts, have a home in France, travel the world, tell people about Jesus, love healing the sick, and proclaiming the kingdom of God. Hey, you'll find more details about me on my website, gjn.org. Encourage you to sign up for our email newsletter, link below. And lastly, I want to say a big thanks to all of the partners of my ministry as well. We love you guys. We appreciate you, and thank you for your partnership in the gospel. If you're not yet a partner, why not pray about becoming one? Link below. Boom. Right, we've got five questions today. Question number one, what are the limits of spiritual authority? Again, it's a good question, and in one sense, God's authority is limitless, but God, in His sovereignty, chooses to limit that to certain things. So, real quickly, I would say this. What are the limits to spiritual authority? Firstly, I can't exercise authority over somebody else against their will. Spiritual authority is never about manipulation. Satan is a manipulator. The Bible literally calls manipulation witchcraft. So we can't use spiritual authority and control other people. That is weird. And at times people will try to, let's say within a church context, use a role, a spiritual authority, to manipulate people. And that is a sad and terrible thing that God will judge that one day. That is wrong. So spiritual authority is basically over what comes against people. It's to keep them safe. It's not to abuse, manipulate in any way that. What are the limits of spiritual authority? I mean, obviously there are limits in terms of the things God has called us to do. It's interesting. Jesus said, I give you authority over snakes and scorpions. I actually take that to mean what I call lower level devils. Jesus never said, I give you authority and you can bind Satan and every demon and tell them to go to hell and they'll never touch anybody on planet Earth ever again. The Bible clearly tells us, you know, what will happen to Satan at the end of this age, but that has not yet happened. So we have authority. I have authority over anything Satan does to try to attack me. If you come to me and you're being attacked by Satan and you want my help, I can set you free, as it were, with your permission. But I don't have authority, while people are bowing the knee to Satan on planet Earth, I don't have the authority to take over that. You know, on a more practical level as well, a couple of other limits to spiritual authority. There's a general authority over Satan that every believer has, but I have authority in the things God has called me to. I don't have authority in the things God has called you to. I have authority over my household. I don't have authority over your household. So there are contextual limits. Lastly, I would say this. There are limits to spiritual authority in terms of the limits of our knowledge and the limits of our faith. So you have spiritual authority. But if you don't know knowledge that you have spiritual authority, de facto, you don't have spiritual authority. Now, you do, but the fact you don't know you do will limit you in that way. You have spiritual authority. If you sort of know that intellectually, but you don't actually believe that, you don't have faith that you have spiritual authority, then de facto, you've limited your spiritual authority. So the limits of our spiritual authority are also the limits of our faith. If I believe that Satan can attack me. Paul gives this example. He talks about food sacrificed to idols. And Paul says, if you are fearful, don't eat food that's been anywhere near the demonic. You know, imagine some, back in the day in Rome, imagine somebody who makes pasta. It was Italy, right? And this guy is like some demon worshiper and he dedicates his pasta dishes to Satan. Now Paul says, if you're weak in your faith, don't go there, don't eat there, don't go to that place. But if you're strong in your faith, problem whatsoever. And I've seen Christians who are really weak. They think, oh, you know, I can't walk past that Hindu temple there and I might catch some demon. Like, if you believe that, that actual belief is a limitation, is an open door. So at times, bad beliefs and lack of understanding or revelation about the authority that we actually do have can limit us in those things. Boom. Good. Question number two, how can we grow in spiritual authority? Now, let me give two quick answers to this. Answer number one, you can't grow in it. Answer number two, here's how you grow in it. Now, this is what I'm trying to say. In a very real sense, you've been given Jesus' authority. You have all the authority there is. You know, I became an American citizen about 3 years ago, and I am an American citizen. There isn't a class one American citizen, class two. I'm a British citizen and an American citizen, but it's not like I have a 50% American citizenship. I'm 100% American citizen, completely and utterly. I have the right to do anything that any other American citizen has. I have as much rights as a Donald Trump or a Joe Biden. And you are a citizen of heaven. So can I grow in my American citizenship? No. I walked into an office, a Brit, my French wife, and we both walked out American citizens. We're 100% American. Now, can I grow in being an American citizen? I can grow in my knowledge of that. I can grow in my understanding of its rights and privileges and responsibilities. I can grow in how that functions, in my knowledge of living out the American life. That can grow. So that experience can grow, but I'm 100% established. So can I grow in spiritual authority? No, I've got all I'll ever need. I've got Jesus' authority. Can I grow in its exercise, in its performance, in understanding how to apply that in different situations? Yes, I can. But I do that by knowing I've got everything. So can you grow in it? Yes and no. Hope that helps. Good. Question number three. What if Satan does not submit to spiritual authority? Now, in my experience, and I can prove that biblically, that's probably going to happen to all of us at times, where we speak to a condition and it doesn't seem to obey us. I prayed for a lady. I was in a church last week in Cookstown here in Northern Ireland, and we were about to go out on the streets, and I met with the pastor and I believe one of the staff members of the church, a secretary or somebody who worked in the church, who had a brace on her hand, on her wrist. I think I have this on video. And before we went out, the pastor said, hey, could you pray for this sister with the brace on the wrist? And, you know, I said to her, what's your pain level from 1 to 10? She said 9. Now, that's pretty high. And, you know, we prayed for her. And I asked her when I prayed to stop moving her wrist. And I think she actually began saying, no, I feel... And then she went, it's got a little bit better. And she was happy because it was a little bit better. It's like the pain went maybe from a 9 to a 7. Now, there was still a lot of pain. The 7 out of 10 is a high level of pain. My point is, we spoke to it again and commanded all the pain to go. The pain level went to, forgive me if I'm getting the details wrong, something like a 4 or a 3. And right now, she's really happy. The pain's gone right up. But there's still pain there. Pray for that lady. Say, pray. I spoke with authority to that pain in the hand 3 times. Now, the third time, it left. And here's what happens. It's like Satan at times doesn't, well... You know, Satan will test us. Satan, we'll tell him to go, and he'll, I'm not going to go. You know, we've got to be firm. Who resists steadfastly in the faith? And I think so often we have authority, but Satan will test us on that authority. So you say, what would I do if I spoke to Satan and he didn't leave? I keep speaking. I say, you go. You will go. You will go. And I would do that, you know, until he's gone, frankly. Be steadfast, be repetitive, be persistent in that faith. If you're willing to stand forever, you won't have to stand for very long. But at some degree, it's like Satan will find out, does this guy actually really believe this? Or is he just hoping it works? Is he trying it like a magic trick? Or does he really believe it? So we are... not persistent enough in exercising the spiritual authority you have. What I found as well is the more you prove that authority, the more you know you have it. It's like Satan knows that you know you have it. So the more you prove it, the more you won't back down, the more you'll take ground in those areas. Boom. Question number four. To what aspects of our life can we apply spiritual authority in?
Well,
again, as I said earlier, really, the limits of our spiritual authority are the limits of our knowledge and of our faith. So I believe we can use authority over our body, I mean, over sickness and disease, but actually over, you know, over lust, over gluttony, over laziness, over anything which Satan would tempt us or speak to us to do. We can have authority over our emotions. You can have authority over depression. David did that, like, soul, why are you downcast in me? We should speak to our body, to our soul, and tell them to come into line. We should use authority over the areas we are, over the environments we're in. And again, I don't want to get weird and spooky about that, but we have authority to, Satan has no power to come into my home. We should speak to, you know, a place we're staying in, a car we're renting. And again, I don't want to be superstitious about that. My point is, we have God's authority. Imagine if Jesus came to stay with you for a week. I remember Kenneth Hagin saying this once, where he was talking about probably in the 40s and 50s, where he'd travel and do revivals in churches, probably stay for about 3 or 4 weeks at the time, you know, drive through his car. At the time, a traveling minister would always sleep in the pastor's home, that kind of thing. And he talked about, I'm getting the details wrong, but I think it was about a guy with a skin rash. And Hagin said to this guy, while I'm staying with you, that's going to go away. And you know, the next day the guy got up and the skin rash is completely gone. And in the end, Hagin said, you know, it may come back after I leave, but if you want to, you can tell it to go. What Hagin was in effect saying is, while I'm here, we're not going to have sickness and disease in this house. While I'm here, I brought my kingdom with me. So I can't give you an exhaustive list of every area of your life that you have spiritual authority, because you have spiritual authority over everything. Okay? The key to that, the key lesson is this: when our lives are submitted to the Lordship of Jesus, then that Lordship of Jesus extends. But while there are areas of our life, while there's like a room in our home, so to speak, where we've closed the door, where we've said, Lord, your Lordship doesn't extend here, I'm keeping this for me. While Jesus is not Lord in an area of your life, the Lordship or the Kingship, the Kingdom of Jesus doesn't apply there. So make Him Lord of everything real quick. If He's Lord of your finances, then the Kingdom of God rules over your finances. If you're like, no, it belongs to me, then you lose spiritual authority in that domain. Boom. Last question is, do we have authority over people? Again, I've addressed this in one of the videos this week, but I would say this: we have authority, we exercise an authority in a role that God has given us. Now, there are roles that we apply. My identity is child of God. I have many roles. I am a pastor, I'm an evangelist, I'm a husband, I'm a brother, I'm a father, I'm a son, I'm a neighbor, I'm a citizen. Many different roles we have, and including as part of some of those roles, like as a pastor, I have an authority that is over the house that I lead. Now, that authority ends at the end of the drive, but that's not authority to manipulate people. I can't tell people who to marry and what job to take or that. That authority, here's what that authority looks like. If I'm having a gathering in my church and somebody stands up and starts screaming in tongues in the middle of my message, I will gently but firmly say, brother, sister, sit down. Yeah, I'm speaking right now. You know, we allow time to the gifts of the Spirit to flow in an appropriate way in the service, but no, you're not going to simply interrupt me. Sit down. If somebody stands up, gives a testimony and says, you know, Buddha is Lord, I'm going to say, sit down. And they will obey me. There's a spiritual aspect to that as well, where if somebody's a committed member of my church, they can come to me and I can pray for them in a way I can't just pray for anybody else. I can pray for them because they're under the sphere of my protection. So I can pray. That's when the Bible says, if you're sick, call for the elders of the church. And they can come and they can pray for you, actually from that position of authority and eldership, if you will, that they probably couldn't for somebody else. So I have authority over my children, but that's not to manipulate them. That's not to tell them who to marry, what job to take, how to live. My authority is to keep order in my home. My authority is to protect them in my home and to keep my home safe, a clean, spiritually speaking, place. My authority you know, is for the good, not for the domination and manipulation. So we never have authority over anybody to control them. We have authority in a sphere. If somebody again stands up in my church and screams, I'll tell them to sit down. If they don't want to be subject to my authority, I will say, you don't have to be, but just leave. The door is the wooden thing in the wall, use it. Now when they reach the end of the drive, they don't have to obey me. They can scream in tongues, they can do those things. So if they choose to place themselves in the context that I am leading, then they can enjoy the benefits of that, or they can choose to take themselves out of the. There's a day when my children will leave home, get married, start their own homes, and then I have a place as a father to love and advise them. I might say at times, hey, you kind of owe me, I really want to share this advice with you, and they should listen to it. But they can also go, Dad, thanks, but no thanks. We're running our own home now, and I have to accept that. I can't come in and dominate them in that way. So do we have authority? Yes, in context. Spiritual authority in that general sense is over Satan and over creation, not over people to dominate and manipulate them. Satan manipulates people. Jesus sets people free. He, the Son, sets free is free indeed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom and liberty. Boom. Hope those help, guys. Again, go back and watch the videos over this. And I appreciate it if you hit the subscribe button on YouTube. Drop me a line or comment. I'd love to hear from you. And do share these videos with others. Blessing you in Jesus' name. And bye for now.